Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
You kind of see what you get. The ball goes in the hoop a lot. Have fun while doing it. You see some dunks, some long threes. I mean, behind the scenes, we're not that interesting. You know, we're pretty normal. We enjoy our families, the outdoors, movies, music, art.
Yeah, no, it just felt like must my night. And I'm not saying that the other nights didn't feel like that, but you just got going to that deep place where, you know, every arena really, but specifically tonight, just knowing that.
Guess who wasn't in the email? Whose name was not in the email? Zion's. Like, what the
tonight,
heck?
Tonight, just knowing that. It just felt like one of those occasions, you know, pre-game, preparing, see a few of the supporters walking in. I don't want to call them fans, but see supporters walking in. That's what the game is about. It's just about that camaraderie, that brotherhood, that sisterhood. Everyone loves the game of basketball that's coming to watch it. So I want to put on a good performance. You know, people up top, people that are sitting courtside. So just grateful that I'm able to do that and, you know, get a warm reception.
MVP over there, Sam Preston. He the MVP.
Guess who wasn't in the email? Whose name was not in the email?
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention coming up on the show. Kyrie's masterclass, Luka, the real MVP. Jackie Moon visits Clay. Cade, the real rookie of the year. And Russell's plea. Happy International Bagpipe Day. That's right. Hit me with the bagpipes, Jade. I'm Scottish. We're going to celebrate the Scots and our brilliance and mastery of the bagpipe. I'm Zach Harper. That's Jane Hoy producing. In this corner, Flint, Michigan native, Detroit legend, and future author of the book, Stan, How Eminem Taught Van Gundy to Rap. It's James Tuck Edwards III. James, Winning Time, HBO's new series about the Showtime Lakers. Winner or dud after one episode?
I need another one because
what?
I need one more.
That shit was amazing. You're out of your mind.
I loved it, but I'm curious to see where they go because they could
to the 80s. That's where they go.
That's enough. I've heard people that have seen it. I've heard it gets worse. So I'm going to judge for myself. But I enjoyed the first episode. I just went into it knowing that it didn't get the best of reviews.
You can't trust people because I mentioned the other day that I was watching After Party. That new Sam Richardson, Ben Schwartz show. Yeah. And someone was like, oh, really tails off the end. And the end's a banger. I don't know what they're talking
about.
That.
That's the end. I like best that part of it.
Can't trust the
terrible at the beginning.
No, you're right. But they did a good job first episode.
The only bad episode is the cartoon. The animation episode's the only bad one.
Yeah.
Everything else
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
And in this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now wherever you get books. Dynasties. The 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. The one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, will Major League Baseball and the Players Association reach an agreement today and save baseball as we know it? Or will that f***ing fraud, Rob Manfred, continue to ruin the game of baseball? All that in, Jay.
Baseball is impossible to perish in America. So you're right. He will continue to do things to ruin baseball. The owners will not get it. They will carry out this mission of greed. They will disrespect every single baseball fan. And you know what? Because it's as American as apple pie. It's American as a bowl of Chipotle mayonnaise. Well, not Chipotle, just regular best foods mayonnaise.
No sponsorships. Say mayonnaise.
It's American, right? So people will come back because America. That's why people will watch baseball no matter what because they want to act like sitting in 90 degree heat in Arizona is a summer is somehow relaxing. It is not, but America likes to think so. So yes, baseball will survive the idiots who run it.
Some of these hot places need a dome. Like you just said, I'm not trying to go watch a game in Arizona in the summer.
Oh, man, LA gets hot. Some Give of those July, August games, it is hot at Dodger Stadium. I wouldn't about where the Angels play because nobody goes and watches the Angels because nobody knows who Mike Trout – nobody knows what Mike Trout looks like.
Hey, don't. Never done hot at A's games.
This will button up this banter segment. More like Rob Manfred, you know? Jade, start the clock. Take one. Kyrie's 50 masterpiece. Kyrie Irving went off for a season-high 50 points on an extremely efficient 15 of 19 from the field to help the Nets end a four-game losing streak in their 132-121 win in Charlotte Tuesday night. It was a much-needed victory for the now 33-33 Nets, who are the eighth seed currently in the Eastern Conference for that play-in tournament. Irving, also 9 of 12 from deep, historic efficiency, tied for the second fewest shots in a 50-point game, and it was Irving's second 50-point night on 75% shooting. The only other men who have done it, you guessed it, Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. Mike did it 3 times. Wilt Chamberlain did it a ridiculous 8 times because none of those statistics are actually accurate. None of them matter. None of them have been reported properly throughout the annals of NBA history. Nothing pre-merger matters except for Bill Russell's titles. That's the only thing that matters pre-merger. All right, praise came pouring in after Kyrie's masterclass performance. Kevin Durant, quote, "Everything he does is pure. It looks so easy." Jade, play the tape.
I mean, I've been saying it. It's pure. Everything he does is pure. It's something you got to, like, younger players, you should watch this game and learn what it takes to score at that level from at a 5'10", 5'11". For him to score that easy, I mean, that was just a masterclass.
Brooklyn moved into 8 in the East, game ahead of the Hornets and Hawks at the time of this recording. Kevin Durant had 14 points. Andre Drummond, a season-high 20 to go with 14 rebounds. Marcus, I don't know if seeding really matters with this Nets team heading into the playoffs. It's all about health. Kyrie firing on all cylinders could put this team on a direct trip to the NBA Finals. Are there any other lingering questions you have for the Brooklyn Nets?
Absolutely. First, let me get off mute. Then I'll be able to answer your question.
You want to keep talking
it's
muted,
frozen.
And I'll just
My
read your lips.
Is frozen.
He
I
said,
don't
"What
know
about Ben Simmons?"
Absolutely. I'll sit here like, "Yo, why is this not unfreezing?" Ben Simmons is a major question. Also, I do think it's important who ends up with the one seed. Right, I think that matters, man. It's a whole different ball game if you got to see Miami in the first round. I don't even care if you win the series, right? You're coming out with a limb gone. Yeah. So I do think that matters. How Ben Simmons looks and plays and what he contributes matters. But I do think we should point out, like, I mean, Kyrie is the dude is like art. Right, like it really is a beautiful thing to watch, especially when his shot is going. But
there we go.
Charlotte stinks.
Is this a small butt, Marcus, or is this a wagon size butt?
He ain't do that against Boston the game before. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know, the way you talk about Bob Cousy, this is the opposite of that,
the
exact right? Like, this is like
you mean the Bob Cousy. Who was 10-17 in the playoffs before Bill Russell got there? Zero titles before Bill Russell got there, and
of him dribbling off his forearm, off his wrist.
Making sure
right?
we're talking about the same Bob Cousy who shot 34% for his career.
Yeah, that Bob Cousy
in
yeah.
the playoffs.
Yeah.
That Bob Cousy got it.
Kyrie, in this man, I don't care if he's missing. It's just it's literal like art. But I do wonder, like how he responds now, you know, because he is pretty much a bucket getter. You aren't seeing much. You know, he will distribute, but no James Harden. He's got to be the distributor. He's got to be the point guard. They've got the spots. So I want to see him in that role more. And it looked like they're, you know, Boston, you start looking at Drew Holiday in Milwaukee. Like, he's kind of that head of the snake that maybe if you can get to, it'll, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see leader Kyrie. But man, when he's on this game like this, bro, it's just you could just watch it over and over. Back in the day, see James, you don't know nothing about this, but we used to have VHS tapes. You feel me? And we used to watch "Come Hold Fly on. With Me." We used to watch NBA Superstars. You know what I'm saying? That's a movie. That's fake. We talking about real hoop.
we were We were recording on a VHS.
Yes.
The 95 All-Star Saturday night where Glenn Rice won the three-point contest.
Flint.
Harold Miner won the dunk contest.
Baby Jordan.
And what did we put on that little white strip that you'd have to label it? Put Heat Wave on it. That's right. 13-year-old Zach Harper.
You don't know about that and watching it over and over. Because you
didn't have James Edwards the second knows about that.
You ain't have $80 million options out there. You had your VHS collection. That's what you had. And you just kept watching it. You don't know nothing about that.
You didn't have Netflix. We just went out there and flicked nets. That's all we did.
First of all, I was born in 92. I grew up on the VHS. The DVDs.
Oh,
we had DVDs. You know how many covers of Professor I had just laying around my room? Escalade, Hot Sizzle. Remember they used to do the DVDs where it was best crossovers of the year every year?
Marcus, you noticed he didn't talk about Skip to My Lou, Headache,
Shout out to Skip to My Lou.
Dribbling Machine, all the original.
It wasn't hot then. It wasn't a bus out there then, right? It wasn't on ESPN back then, right?
No. He waited for the ESPN version.
He don't know about Obi Toppin's dad. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I actually don't. And I kind of want to learn. Is there actually a thing with Obi Toppin's dad?
Yeah. Obi Toppin's dad is like a famous dunker, man. Come on.
He's a legend, man.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed that.
Wow.
I need to go back.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't a bus.
The Nets.
It wasn't a bus out there. It wasn't on ESPN. You don't know. It wasn't a dude on the mic screaming, oh, baby.
Duke Tango. Ayo.
What's his dad's name? Dunker's Delight is Obi Toppin's dad. That's old school.
Oh, that's his
dad? That's Obi Toppin's dad.
I know the name. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do my research. That's on me. But we had the DVD. Same thing. Brooklyn, I have a question since we're talking about old head stuff. Has there ever been a player that's never played with his current team trying to get eventually acclimated this late into the season? Like, usually if there's – like when a guy gets traded for, there's not one – he usually is available to play pretty much right away or – it's very rare that somebody that's injured is traded for.
Especially this big, though, right? It's normally like a contract buyout.
Like, you have to move your whole offense around. Yeah, it's not a contract buyout. So that does concern me. Like, I can't think of an example off the top of my head. Like, they're going to have to reshift. I mean, not how they – I don't know. I don't know what they have to reshift, but they have to reshift something. So I'm very curious if they can do that this late in the season against good teams, because coming up, it's nothing but good teams. But like you said, Marcus, Kyrie's up there with like Steph. Like when he's cooking, it's must-see TV. There's nothing more beautiful to watch. I'll never knock a 50-point game, especially in that efficiency, but Charlotte is one of the worst defenses I have seen in quite some time. But Kyrie did his thing. I don't know, man. Adding Ben Simmons, who we don't even know where he's at on the court, where he's at upstairs. We don't know how Nash plans to use him. We think we have an idea, but like we need to see it. We've never seen him play with players like KD and Kyrie, and they have to figure it out at the most critical moment in the NBA season. I don't know. I think they're in trouble this year.
The time to do it would have been against Charlotte because there's no resistance there, right? You could have just scored all over the place and he could have run whatever he wanted to. What's interesting is if we get this current seeding with the 7-seed Toronto Raptors and the 8-seed Brooklyn Nets in the play-in tournament, they go to Toronto to play that game. Now, they're not eliminated if they lose. They still get a chance to beat the winner between, it would be the Hornets and the Hawks at this point, unless the Wizards can sneak in there. Kyrie doesn't get to go play in Toronto. We think he'll be able to play in New York by then, right? Like, we think the mandate's coming out of there by then, but he wouldn't get to go play in Toronto, grab that 7-seed and match up with the 76ers if they're still in that position.
No, you're right. There's just too many unknowns. Like, we know what it could be. We have an idea of what it might look like. Mm-hmm. But, like, none of us have seen it. And we don't know what we're going to get. We don't know what it's going to look like if Kyrie, for the first time in more than a year, like, has to play an NBA schedule. Like, it's Kyrie in his prime. Like, I trust that he's fine. But, like, I'm sure that 50 ball helped because he's had the freshest legs in the NBA.
Yeah. He's also got an injury history, like pretty extensive.
And he's got an injury history, right. So you're going to have to go from, I wouldn't say zero, but 45 to 100.
30 to 100 real quick.
Yeah, real quick. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm curious to see how it plays out, man. It's going to be probably the most fascinating storyline of the playoffs.
So they have to get bounced in the first round. They have to get the seventh seed.
They don't want to see Philly.
I mean,
I think they do want to see Philly. I think
But I'm saying, like, no. In order to get the home game for the play-in, essentially, they've
to get that. Yeah. Wow. Assuming the mandate's lifted by then. Yeah.
Right.
Which we hear it will be, but it still hasn't happened yet.
I didn't even think of that, Zach. That's incredible.
You know, speaking of politics, guys, you know what's political? The MVP race. Take two. Luka, dark horse MVP. Joel, Nikola, Steph, Giannis, Ja. How about Luka Doncic as your 2022 MVP? Well, you were out waxing poetic about Giannis's third MVP run or Ja Morant's fairy tale campaign. Jade wrote, Swaggy L has been lighting it up. That is not my nickname for him. Swaggy L has been lighting it up for the Mavs. Doncic has been straight fire, averaging 34.7 points in February, 33.7 points so far, three games into March as of this recording. Over those 14 games, Mavs are 11-3, have climbed to fifth in the Western Conference standings, just one game behind the Utah Jazz for fourth. The Slovenian Slayer, still a long shot to win MVP. Our friends at BetMGM have him at plus 4,000. Stranger things have happened, guys, haven't they? I don't really know, but it's in the script, so I read it. I'm Ron Burgundy. Luka and the Mavs took down the Jazz Monday night for their fifth straight win, 11th in the last 13. Luka, 35 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 12 of 23 shooting from the field, 5-11 from three-point range, was going after the switch for Rudy Gobert every single time in the second half and just lighting him up. Doncic received.
But he's the best defender of all time in the league.
I'm sure it wasn't his fault, Utah. I'm sure it was everybody else's fault but Rudy's. Doncic received MVP chance from the home crowd as he stepped to the free throw line in the fourth quarter. Jade, play the tape.
37 seconds left in the game.
What was it like to be on that free throw line and hear the crowd chanting MVP as you took the line?
That was just amazing. You know, I felt pressure on that one. You know, I had to make those free throws because of them. That was just amazing. My skin was going, how to say, I don't know how to say in English. When the skin goes like this, it was just amazing.
You're feeling chills out there.
James, the Matador, which I guess is another nickname for Luka, has this Mavs team humming. How far can Luka take this squad? And does Luka deserve more MVP recognition or did his flat start to the season, and let's be honest, his fat start to the season, when we all shamed him, body shamed him into getting into shape around Christmas, is that going to hurt him in this MVP race?
I think that hurts him, and then just the brilliance of the guys ahead of him. Like, I still think firmly Embiid is my pick right now. Jokic, anybody wants to argue with me, like, I'm not going to concede to you. I still think DeRozan is ahead of him. Just because of the consistency the whole year, the fact that they overcame everybody's expectations. But what Luka's doing is phenomenal. He's being Luka. It's nothing that necessarily we didn't expect. It just came a little too late. I don't love the team still. I think it's a roster that's still a little weird. Maybe having an extra guard, having Spencer, an extra ball handler does help in the playoffs, but I do think losing the potential threat of a rim protector, which they're lacking, is going to play huge dividends when basketball gets, as we know, like slowed down in the playoffs. Shout out to my guy, Sean Sweeney, their assistant coach who runs the defense. Like, their defense has been phenomenal over these last like month, 2 months or something like that. I'm not exactly sure where they are in the league, but they've looked really good as a team. They got good role players. I still think they're just missing. Luka needs help. Like, he needs one more guy. It wasn't Porzingis. He never stayed on the floor. He still needs one more guy before I think the Mavericks are a legitimate threat.
Okay, Marcus, I'm going to read these. I want you to answer the same question as James, but I'm going to read you these Basketball Reference nicknames for Luka. My apologies to Jade. The Matador, El Matador, Cool Hand, The Don, Wonder Boy, El Nino Maravilla, Swaggy L, Luka Legend, and Too Easy. Well, have you heard him referred to as any of those?
Too Easy is already taken. That's Baron Davis' nickname. But Swaggy L
It's on there, man. I thought Jade was just being a jackass, but no, it's on Basketball Reference. Wow. He's just assisting in being a jackass by the website.
That's unacceptable. Swaggy L is unacceptable, and I feel like I feel like Nick Young has a copyright violation claim. I don't think he's MVP. Actually, as great as Luka is, I'm giving more credit to Jason Kidd because. Mm.
Who's
by the way plus 25,000 for a coach of the year. Like he's way down there.
That's great odds, actually.
But we're looking at like the reason Luka is like playing so well is because like the guys around him have stepped up their game. Like Dorian Finney-Smith doesn't miss anymore, right?
He's so good.
Right. Spencer Dinwiddie has been great. He started poorly, but he's picked it up lately. You know, they've got guys, Dwight Powell, like Reggie Bullock, who are like really locking in on defense. And so it's allowing Luka to actually, you know, be able to do work his magic. Now when he's, you know, getting doubled and he, you know, does that overhead pass, dudes are making the shot. Like that matters. And we didn't know what would happen to them after they lost Tim Hardaway Jr., but other guys have stepped up, and I do think that's a big part of the chemistry of the team, and surprisingly that Jason Kidd is, like, working in Dallas, right? Like, to me, that's crazy. Obviously, Luka is one of the best players. He should always be in the MVP conversation, but I agree with James. Others are having better cases. Don't forget about Ja, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry, Ja.
And Giannis got to be up there too. Like that Bucks team is great, and he kept them afloat early in the season when Chris Middleton was missing time, Drew Holiday was missing time. Brook Lopez has been out this whole time, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know who told you that Jason Kidd might be a good coach for the Mavs? You're looking at him. Not Jade. Not James. Not Marcus. It's me. I tried to tell you guys. Don't judge it based off this. Like, we don't know what he learned. Actually, he leaves the Lakers. Look who falls apart. You know?
I mean,
it's not Russ's fault.
You saying he was really coaching? It wasn't Frank?
Oh, look, man, I saw a lot of pictures where if you just put, like, you know, your hand in a certain line of sight, you cover up Frank Vogel. Looks like Jason Kidd's coaching them, guys. A lot of pictures that way, guys.
Look, I'm surprised. Yeah, no, Kidd's done a good job. And I want to clarify, I didn't mean to say I don't like the team around him. I like the role players. I just think they're a team.
No, they're
have too many.
No, yeah, they're like a collection. I worry for of the playoffs same players, right? Like, it's,
yes, it's a bunch like of they're same a, that's a great regular season roster. Yeah.
They could use like I worry a, about like it a Chris Stapps Porzingis if he was good.
Yes, exactly.
I think that was exactly.
Yeah, if he was good.
A healthy one.
Yeah,
you kind of see what you get. The ball goes in the hoop a lot. have fun while doing it. You see some dunks, some long threes. I mean, behind the scenes, we're not that interesting. You know, we're pretty normal. We enjoy our families. The outdoors, movies, music, art.
What the hell are you doing, Jackie?
What, you never seen me shoot free throws before?
He shoot them granny style, let him do his thing.
Always has.
Oh, shit.
Here we go.
Jackie Moon holding the fate of Flint in his fingertips. He kisses the ball for good luck.
Sweet sugar.
All right, take three. Dreams do come true. Hollywood star, A-lister Will Ferrell.
Always has.
Took the floor to warm up with the Warriors on Tuesday night. Just
art.
What Coach Steve Kerr's team needed before facing the Los Angeles Clippers.
Movies.
While the Warriors are mired in a five-game losing streak, the Warriors went on to win 112-97 with Klay Thompson scoring 20 points.
Art.
Will Ferrell donned a vintage-style headband and dressed
art
as Jackie Moon from the 2008 Hoops film Semi-Pro. A moment that was meant specially for Thompson, who dressed as Moon for Halloween 3 years ago and loves the movie. Quote from Clay, "That was so cool. Dreams do come true." Jade, play the tape.
Art.
Kurt told me it's an outside chance they could pick me up on a 10-day contract. We'll see. I think after what they saw, they're pretty excited. I'm hearing a lot of buzz, especially commanding a half-court bank shot. Doesn't happen every day. These guys usually swish it, but I go for the bank. More style points.
We fed off the energy. I was actually surprised how well he, you know, how his form. He actually had some good rotation on the ball.
He's always paid homage to Jackie Moon, so had to repay the favor.
I had no idea that was coming, and that was so cool. I mean,
Dreams do come true.
Jordan Poole scored 20 points off the bench, while Andrew Wiggins had 14 and 11 rebounds for the Warriors. Meanwhile, center James Wiseman has been cleared for the next stage of his rehab process, which includes two G League games with the Santa Cruz Warriors. Wiseman has been sidelined with a meniscus injury since April of last year. He played just 39 games his rookie season. Marcus, is the light at the end of the tunnel any brighter this week for the hobbled Warriors?
I tell you what, it's way better than that trash movie Semi-Pro. I'll tell you that I'll tell you that much.
Hey, you show respect.
I'll tell you that much.
Watch your mouth.
I'm gonna punch you in the jejunum.
I'm tired of us walking around acting like this is some kind of all-time great comedy.
What are you talking about?
I mean, it's cool, but like, you know.
It's great.
Hey, you want to impress me? Get Chris Tucker in the warm-ups. Dressed as Smokey from Friday. That's a classic. Just because Clay likes it doesn't make it.
What, do you want him to take a shit by the scores table and have someone call him? Yes, Smokey from Friday.
Absolutely. Clay was like a 5-year-old, by the way. You know, here's the funny part before I ask you a question. Only the Warriors could do this right. They've lost 9 out of 11, and they got a dude.
Can you imagine if the Lakers had done this?
Oh, but right.
The Lakers had done this.
Can you imagine if they lose the game and this dude, Will Ferrell, is like, he joined Steph and Clay in pregame warmups while they're not. This could have went so badly, right?
He wasn't working with like Jordan Poole and Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it by the two guys we know are the greatest shooters of all time. He's probably not going to mess them up.
This is why Steve Kerr is the GOAT, man. Steve Kerr is like, this is what he's so good at. It's like, what do we need? We're struggling. What do we need right now? Will Ferrell, how about you?
There was a thing like early in the pandemic where it was just people trying to get the most famous person they could on a Zoom, right? And eventually it got like pretty impressive, like how that thing grew. That's essentially what Steve Kerr did last night.
He was just like,
who's the most? I can get Will Ferrell here. All right,
Will, can you dress as Jackie Moon? Tom Thibodeau would have had them running stairs at Chase Center. Steve is like, let's get Will Ferrell in the building, right? Like
James Harden and the Sixers would have waited for the cameras to be on him before he ran stairs in the Chase Center. That performative ass video, God.
You notice he only ran up those once, and then the video just shut off?
It was like when players go out there and tell the media, like, you know, the late, great Kobe Bryant would be like, hey, I'm going out there to shoot some free throws in about 20 minutes. Let me, you know, come out there and chronicle this. Like,
conflict me up.
I think it's great that every time it happens, I think, oh, here's another one, Zach. Here's another one.
Oh, my God. That post-game propaganda shit is so annoying. And that's how I know we're not fully out of the pandemic yet. Because it was like strictly a, well, can't go to the club. Might as well go do this post-game stuff and look like I care more than I possibly do. Get out of here.
So to answer your question.
I have a question really quick.
Oh, go ahead.
Do the Warriors pay for that? Or do you think Will just does it off the street?
Will's not doing that for free.
No. I think he was filming something.
Oh, he was there?
Yeah, he was filming something.
Is there a Semi-Pro 2 coming? Yeah,
he was filming something. He hit the Warriors and was like, hey, can I come?
We will do a full review and shove it in Marcus's face if they're doing the Semi-Pro 2. I cannot believe
this. If they do a Semi-Pro 2, you come to Flint and we go watch it.
I'm in.
All right.
Marcus coming too.
No, this is not.
Marcus, you got to come too.
Marcus, when's the last time you watched Semi-Pro?
Like years ago.
Like 2008?
Yeah, probably. Maybe
watch it again.
Watch it again. You're out of your mind, man. It's so good. Everybody in that movie's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Andre 3000 was great.
Coffee Black. Downtown Funky Stuff Malone.
So to answer your question, it is looking up. I'm done with you. You blew your chance.
No, you hate Semi-Bro. You trash Semi-Bro. You're out. I just want to talk to James here.
James, do you think
you think the Warriors got brighter this week?
Yeah, I mean, I was very, like what Marcus said, I was shocked that they did that, just given what's all that's gone on. Like, if they lose, it's bad. And especially because, like, he was, like, doing Steph's warm-up with him. Like, he was feeding him passes. He was feeding Clay. Like, it could have went bad. But it worked. They won. Maybe they just needed a laugh. I'm gonna defer to Steve Kerr on this one. He probably knows the mood of the team a little bit better than I. But I do. Like, I never worried about the Warriors. Like, they're missing Draymond. Mm-hmm. Clay's working himself back. Jordan Poole, Clay, and Steph together have been really good. I think you'll see more of that. I'm still, and we talk about it on all our various pods, I'm still in the Wiseman camp. I don't know if it'll be this year, but I think he's going to be a player.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
I'm not worried. Yeah. Moses Moody has been good. Kuminga's had his flashes.
Moses Moody had a game the other night. Like he was balling a little bit. He was hooping.
I'm a fan. Like I like the team. I'm not worried about them. Do they win the title? I was.
Hey, don't you let Zach off the hook? You missing somebody? Don't let Zach off the hook. You missing a name?
Who did I forget?
Jordan Boundaries Poole.
I said Poole.
No, you skipped Poole.
I said Steph, Clay, and Poole are like the greatest trio in the league
Zach,
right now.
Zach been hating on Poole all year. Okay, go check his numbers real quick.
So the guy that Marcus Thompson continually said is the replacement for Klay Thompson is shooting 35% from three on the season.
That's what I said. Huh. Replacement for Klay Thompson.
That's what I heard. Wow. That's what I heard.
I've read that column a few times.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm with it.
He looks historic. He looks historic. Let's check out his month by month splits here. All right. Let's just see how, because I'm sure it's just, you know, put that kind of shooting.
Can we look at Kyrie's home road splits? That was a fantastic tweet. Thank you. By the way.
Let's see. In December, Jordan Poole shot 30% from three. Well, that's probably good. February, 25.9% from three. It was a nice little tribute to Russell Westbrook. So you're right. Yeah. Russell Westbrook's a Hall of Famer.
Now do March.
What, the five games in March?
Now do March.
He's made 20 threes in March.
March 2nd.
Now do March. Yeah.
It's March 2nd.
Can we do March?
Less than 100% in March. Guys, we got to move on. We can't just get bogged down on this stuff. So, Marcus, I accept your apology. Take four. Cade got it made. Back to some reckless award speculation. The odds may have another rookie winning this year's Rookie of the Year. But Pistons, Cade Cunningham, continues to show why it might and maybe should be him. Cade delivered another clutch performance in Monday night's win over the Atlanta Hawks. 28.6 rebounds, 10 assists, picking up his eighth double-double of the season. Cunningham became just the second Pistons rookie in the last 50 years to have a game with at least 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 10 assists. The last Pistons rookie to accomplish that, Isaiah Thomas. Fun fact, Detroit, 17-34 when Cunningham plays, 1-13 without him. Team has won 6 of his last 8 games, and he scored 15 or more points in all 8 of them. Dwayne Casey, his coach, well, this is going to shock you. He said he's Rookie of the Year. Jade, play the tape.
Well, with Cade, again, he's Rookie of the Year. I mean, there's not even close as far as talent evaluation. I've been in a long time, seen a long time players. The only thing they could hold against us is a young team rebuilding. But talent-wise, he's the guy that can finish games for you, and that's what you need in those situations to finish games. And he's playing like a 10-year vet. So, to get 10 assists and 28 points is big time. And, he deserves that. But, again, he got us down the stretch. We was trying to go to him down the stretch, which, we wanted to. We kind of got what we wanted down the stretch, but for me, he's the Rookie of the Year, just the way he won the game for us tonight.
CC still trails Evan Mobley, the odds-on favorite to win Rookie of the Year. But James, is there still time for the young man to pull this out? And I want to add, two Fridays ago on NBA Radio, Amin El-Hassan and I did a hot take Safe Zone Friday, where you could call in and say anything you wanted, we were going to agree with it. And someone, Damian from Texas, called in and said the rest of the season, Cade Cunningham is going to lead the Pistons to at least a 500 record and win Rookie of the Year. Since that call, they are 4-2. So shout out to Damian in Texas.
Yeah, Damian, you need to relax. That's not going to happen. I would be surprised if... No, they are playing well. They are playing a lot better basketball. And it's not flukes. Like they've beaten some good teams in Atlanta.
And the Hawks,
Yeah. So they've looked good. And Cade has been the primary reason why. I mean, listen, I understand the Mobley hype. Like I'm not fighting it. And there is some bias in me saying Cade has a real chance to win it because I watch him every single day. But if you take out, and again, a major caveat, if you take out his first month of the NBA, and I think that's fair to do because he's a 19-year he was a 19-year-old who missed all of camp and preseason. Started 0-21, like he was just getting his legs under him. So since December 1st, I have the stats up for rookies that have played 35 games. Cade leads in points. He is shooting 42% from the field, 35% from three, first in assists at 5.5. Turnovers are obviously high. We've talked about that, but the rebounds, very good. He's fourth in rebounds, fifth in rebounds. you just watch him. He's top 30 in the whole NBA in clutch points, first among rookies. Like, he might struggle for the first 2.5 quarters, and then what he does in the third and fourth, you like almost forget that he struggled. Like, he's he has it. I hate saying it. It's the most cliche thing in the world, but like, if you watch Cade, like, that's the epitome of how he plays. And I think, given the talent around him, and I'm not saying, like, I think Detroit has shown that they got some guy, like, Sadiq Bey has been great. Jeremy Grant's improved. Isaiah Stewart's improved. But it's not what Cleveland has. Mm-hmm. Cade has to do a lot. Cade does do a lot. He's already the leader of a team at 20. I just think when you look at stardom, where he started, he basically gave the rookie class a month and a half head start and has pretty much kept himself in the conversation. I think he ends up being... I think I predicted this about a month and a half ago. I think we end up having co-rookies of the year for the first time since Elton Brand. Who did Elton Brand share it with?
Steve Francis.
And Steve Francis. Yeah. I think that's my take. I think they end up sharing it because I think Cade has a few more big games ahead of him.
I think we should also mention all this Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes has been phenomenal for
Scotty
Toronto.
Barnes has been well. And I'm not shouting out Josh Giddey.
Marcus, despite your horrible take on your horrible take on semi-pro, I am curious where you think that Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, and Cade Cunningham shake out in this whole rookie of the year.
I mean, they're the clear three, right? Like, you know, they're clear.
Like, Franz Wagner has been great, but also in a lesser, you know, kind of tier in terms of like the production and everything.
I don't think he's in the mix, but I actually like how Zaire's played on a team that's really good, right? I like
sure, that was my guy in the draft.
But these are the clear three. To me, it's not even close. It's Cade. Like, he's the runaway winner.
I mean,
he's not going to win, but the best player out of his rookie class to me is Cade Cunningham.
But that's not the discussion. It's
no, that literally also, is. Who's the rookie? Also, you want my take for rookie of the year? I just gave it to you.
Evan Mobley ends up with like 6 defensive player of the year awards in his career, like, I don't know. Like, Evan Mobley is great.
Evan Mobley is incredible. I thought this was similar to something I'd seen before, except Evan Mobley is better than the other player. This reminds me of Tyreek and Steph. Remember Tyreek started really well, and then Steph was slow, then he came on at the end, ended up second. Now, obviously, to me, Mobley's going to have a... Mobley might be a little bit better than Tyreek, right? But
a little bit, yeah.
But yeah, it reminds me of that, where one guy kind of wowed us with how he started, and then the other guy, you know, slow build, and was like, he's really good. I just like the fact that Cade, I mean, I don't want to say he's got nothing, but... He's out there by himself, pickings, man. Like, and the clutch thing, the clutch points matter. He had
end of the game.
Ball.
Sadiq Bey looks like Michael Jordan. Okay, end of the game. Sadiq Bey is incredible at the end of games.
Shout out to Headband Deke.
You know who he reminds me of with that. I bet you're gonna laugh at this. Jay Crowder. Like, every shot you need, maybe Jay Crowder's got. Every right shot you need. Jay Crowder will go 0-for-9, and then when you need a
shout out to Jay Crowder.
I knew that would get Zach. But yeah, Sadiq is that dude. Like, he's clutch.
Hate Jay Crowder. I just don't trust him to hit any shot ever.
No, I would.
Nah, he makes them though. Cade does everything.
Jay Crowder shoots a basketball like you shoot a balled up piece of paper into a trash can.
I was going to say a sock into the hamper, right?
Yes, exactly. Same thing. Same shooting motion.
I just think Cade is doing everything. Like, he does everything. He's the leader. Yeah. He's running it. He's passing. He's scoring. He's pointing dudes in the right place. He's got to play deep. Like, he is literally doing everything. It just reminds me of Steph rookie year. Steph was out there with, like, Chris Hunter and Mikey Moore, like a bunch of dudes, and he had to do
Mikal
everything.
Hold on, we can't talk about how, like, Jeremy Grant's this great, like, piece to get at the deadline, all this stuff, to be like, well, Cade's got nothing with him.
No. There are like Sadiq and Jeremy and Isaiah.
He's got no guard play with him. That's the thing. Yeah, he's like Killian Hayes. Is bad.
And that's why you see the turnovers.
Yeah.
And he struggled with turnovers in college anyway, but that's why you see the turnovers. Like, Cade has been phenomenal. I've just looked around the internet. I've seen everybody closing a case on Mobley like a month ago. I really just don't think that's the case. Like,
I think it's open, but I do think Mobley is still the heavy favorite. Yeah.
I'm not mad at
it
that.
It won't be wrong, though. It won't be wrong. Like, Mobley's been incredible. Like, his
either
team
one
is
fine.
Top, right? Like, his team is up there, and he is surprisingly clutch for a big dude, right? He comes up.
Yeah.
Like he that dude balls. He terrifies
he's a
veterans.
Great defender.
Right? Like,
he's a
terrifies
great defender
veterans.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So he's incredible. I think this we're gonna look back at this as one of the great rookie. You know who's really pushing Cade when you really think about it? It's his
Please
former,
don't say Josh
it's his
Giddey.
Former teammate at Montverde. Moses Moody. Have you not watched the Warriors?
Get out of here.
Have you not watched
Moody's
the Warriors? Moody out here dropping 30.
If you watched the Warriors only up until a week ago, you have no idea what Marcus is talking about.
If you missed
you
the last
watching
week,
the Warriors a week ago, you'd be like, what are you talking about?
Who? I've never even seen him play. What number is he, right?
He sounds like
the
a created
guy, the
player.
The guy who gathers Gary Payton II's warm-ups when he goes to check into the game? That guy?
Moses Moody.
Take five.
That's funny.
Blame Westbrook. On Tuesday, Magic Johnson called on the fan base of LA's second team to ease up on its harsh treatment of Russell Westbrook. This just a day after a tweet by Westbrook's wife, Nina Westbrook, that claimed the family has received death wishes from critics. Westbrook has been the target of taunting by fans of the little brother to the Los Angeles Clippers amid his season-long shooting struggles. The point guard is recording the worst numbers of his career across the board. The first year player for that other team addressed the situation on Monday. JD almost got me, but play the tape.
When it comes to basketball, I don't mind the criticism of missing and making shots, but the moment it becomes where you know, my name is getting shamed, it becomes a issue. I've kind of let it go in the past, you know, just because it never really bothered me, but it really kind of hit me the other day. Honestly, I was, me and my wife was at teacher parent conference for my son. And the teacher told me, she's like, Noah, he's so proud of his last name. He writes it everywhere. He writes it on everything. He tells everybody, he walks around and says, I'm Westbrook, that's the last name. And I kind of sat there in shock, and it hit me like, damn, like, I can no longer allow people, you know, for example, Westbrook to me is now shaming, like, it's shaming my name, it's my legacy for my kids. It's a name that means more, not just to me, but to my wife, to my mom, my dad, the ones that kind of paved the way for me. And that's just one example, I mean, that kind of hit myself and my wife in a place where it's not great, man. And you know, I think a lot of times, you know, I let it slide, but it's now trying to put a stop to that and put it on notice. Like, there's a difference, and we need to make sure that it's understood. And every time I do hear it now, I will make sure that I address it and make sure that I nip that in the bud.
And get this, guys. Magic's tweets came 3 days after he laid into Westbrook on NBA Countdown ahead of LA's 124-116 win over Golden State. Did Magic prompt such criticism?
Young man, you got to know there was expectations when you called LeBron and Anthony Davis and said you wanted to be a Laker. You saw Kobe Bryant play and win all those championships. And Kobe said you were the guy.
Ninth in the Western Conference, just barely hanging on to their play-in tournament lives against a Portland team that actively sent away every good player they could find on the roster, not named Damian Lillard or Anthony Simons. 4.5 games behind the 8 seed with 18 games left to play. Marcus, the narrative shift into this drama. It's intriguing because Westbrook is taking so much of the blame now. Remember, just a month ago, Frank Vogel was supposed to be fired. That may still be the same case, as Sam Amick and Bill Orme are now reporting, quote, with one season left on his deal, all signs point to him being replaced in the summer, unless there is, in fact, a stunning playoff run in their future. Spoiler alert, there isn't. Marcus, I know I imposed a season ban on this team's talk, but we have to bring it back, hopefully, just this one last time. Has LeBron caught the ultimate break in the way this historic collapse is shaking out as Russell Westbrook, a.k.a. Westbrick, is tired of the punning of his name and is taking all this criticism? Also, Russ, did you have a problem when they called you hashtag Bestbrook? Did you not like the punning of that name? Marcus, what say you?
Hey, we can't mess up his name, man. Otherwise, his children will end up in poverty or something, from what I heard. Like, you gotta say his name. There's a way to kind of, you know, rebuttal the Westbrook, you know.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, you could make shots, right?
Oh. Yeah, or stop shooting shots.
You could make shots or stop shooting shots. Look, here's the part, like, look, you know, I'm with his wife, right? Like, especially in her personal, like, she directed who she had a problem with, right? Like, that's absolutely fine. And obviously, we don't want kids being vilified or kids being, like, obviously. But here's my problem with Westbrook. For the last decade, he's been mean to people. For the last decade, he's been this gangster, right? He's been tough talking. He's
studio.
Yeah, he's been hard. He's been tough. He's given off all these vibes. I particularly remember, you know, digs at another point guard he's taken, right? Another choir boy running point? Remember that? All that? Like, he's been fair. He's been in the game. Right, he's been willing to mix it up. Remember him? Somebody got y'all food, right? Right. Remember that? Like, he's been this guy. Go ask
Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. Let's go ask what's about the Oklahoman columnist?
Barry Trammell.
Barry Trammell about his family, right? About how his family received him getting scolded by a report. Like, you can't do that for 10 years and then get on the mic talking about, come on, y'all, this is not right, my legacy. This is your legacy.
My son draws writes his name everywhere.
This is what you created, right? This is what you, hey, you've been the hardcore guy. You've been, don't give me no mess. Like, I'm about it. I can take it. I'm hard. I'm putting it all out there. And now you go through a rough time and people give it to you and you want mercy. You can't get mercy when you weren't giving mercy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, in many ways, he's got to take responsibility for this, right? We saw this in baseball with Barry Bonds. Like, you was a jerk for you. Now you want the same voters to put you in. You got to eat some of that. You got to eat some of that. So, he created this aura, right? He's the one foaming at the mouth running around, right? Shout out to Hank Aaron. created this energy, right? Like, and now he's getting it. So I want you to be the same dude. Be like, I can take this too. Yeah, I ain't going to stop nothing. Like, be Russ. Now, I get it. All that other stuff is out of bounds. Westbrook ain't out of bounds to me. All this other stuff, death threats and all that, disrespect out of bounds. But in the sake of basketball, in the realm of hoop, oh, yeah, no, he's got to get the smoke. He been dishing it.
I like that. No, I mean, you're right. This is, you put certain things into the universe, you get certain things back to you. It catches up to you. And this is why, and Mark, you guys can attest to this. When you treat people with respect, you might get a little bit more leniency when you go through that tough time. That's just the nature of the business. Mm-hmm. Like, there might be, I mean, if Steph goes for has a 15-game drought, Marcus knows, like, the dude's been good to him.
40-game drought.
We know this ain't what Steph. Yeah. That's right. Like, that's why you treat people with respect for moments like this.
60.
All right, let's relax. It's
kind of a 3-year drought if we're talking about it. We haven't been in the finals in 3 years. I don't know. But that's not good. Neither here nor there. In the deep end of the Jordan pool.
We're not doing this. It's almost Steph's birthday.
Is it?
It is. Westbrook, the family stuff off limits. But, like, fam, you're bricking.
And KD leaves, and all of a sudden, they can't hit a shot. Can't leave too long. KD leaves out.
Serge Ibaka ain't walking through that door.
Was that about Steph or was it about Westbrook?
That's the art of it, Marcus. Notice I didn't say anything about Andre Robertson. I don't know where the segment's going.
We don't need to talk about that team.
Marcus is asking Russell.
Wait till you see my brick. Wait till you see West Brick. Hey, girl.
So you guys want the accountability from the Lakers this year? That's what I'll say when there is no accountability. How about that?
All right, hey, we did it. He said Lakers
for this week's attention. Don't forget, subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors plus minus, anything is potable. Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and of course Michelle Beadle's podcast. What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle? For James Edwards III, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time, and keep it locked in on The Athletic.
When you see Westbrook.
Anyway, Kim, the West Coast is closer than the moon. If you let it get to zero, right, Monday through Friday, right, then you got to pay 80 to fill it back up.
Right.
Okay, but if you let it get to half by Wednesday, then you pay 20.
No! Right, but if Wednesday is going to be 40, and then on Friday it'll be 40.
Not 40, 20. It's going to be 20. It's going to be 20.
Not half. Half of 80 is 40.
But no, that's what I'm saying.
I am. So about every day, buddy.
The quick answer every day is don't play me right now.
Don't
play me right now.
I'm sorry. I really want to know because early, I want to get this call. But
no, listen.
I want to save gas money.
You're complaining.
Tell me.
You're complaining about the 80 dollars.
Yes.
Right? So at zero. Okay, so at zero is 80.
No question.
So right at full is 80, right?
Yes.
So if it gets to half, that'll be 40, right?
No question
so
about
if
it.
You put 20 in, then you bring back up to three quarters. Right?
No, if I put 20 in, it'll get to one quarter.
Jeez, yeah. But it'll be three quarters. It'll be three quarters full.
Three quarters empty?
No, three quarters full.
Wait, who's on first?
This.
You know what? Who's on first?